Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for being our rock, and that there is no other firm foundation. You and you alone, thou must save, and thou alone, Father. So we come before you this morning knowing that Jesus is everything. Jesus is the only way, and Jesus is the one who saves. And we praise you, and we ask that you bless the preaching and teaching of God's words, that our hearts may be opened and changed and transformed by it. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. All God's people said, amen.
Amen. We are celebrating our sixth anniversary. God put this church here 6 years ago. And what a ride it's been. I'm so thankful for Second Mile Church. And are y'all thankful? Give God some wealthy praise. Hallelujah. Now, I don't have time to go into all this. We're going to have some long services today. children's parents, Sunday school is going to go a little bit longer than normal back here in the back. So, Billy, you got all the time in the world you want. And they're going to be having Passover meal together back here. How many of you have seen the Passover meal, the setup back here? It's wonderful. So I'm thankful that we're teaching our children about the great truths of Scripture. But as I think back over these last 6 years, I don't know what some of your favorite days were here, but I'll never forget that first grand opening service, March the 25th of 2018. We had 137 people here that morning. And then we began to grow, and then in late fall of 2019, I got a call from Kenwood Baptist Church. Our sister church was needing help, and they asked if we could come alongside and strengthen them. And so that's what we did. We adopted Kenwood Baptist Church, and I've been preaching out there the last three or four Sundays, and they're doing well, growing. I'm just thankful for what God's doing out there. And then in 2020, y'all know what happened in 2020? Hallelujah, COVID. But you know, Jesus wasn't hit by surprise with COVID. And although we probably had close to 100 folks fall through the cracks during that season, we are well back above where we were back in 2020 now. We've had guests and visitors. How many of you remember the city pool baptisms? Weren't those special services? How many of you remember the Jesus rally on the river? Had two of those. Some of y'all need to get at. Do y'all not remember that? I'll never forget Rock Collins preaching up in here on Wednesday night to a huge crowd. Fabulous services. And then there have been some many other moving things that have happened here. Our MoCo days, Second Mile Loves Montgomery County days, those have been fantastic. I can't wait to see what God's going to do the next 6 years. Amen? And so while this is our anniversary celebration today, some people would call it homecoming. And I guess 6 years down the road, you could call this homecoming. But I want to talk to you about the greatest homecoming that's still out in front of the children of God today. Y'all have heard some tough messages lately, so it's time to hear something good about heaven. Amen? Amen. Well, with that response, we're going to go back to stewardship. Amen. If you have a Bible, we're going to be in Revelation 21 and 22. But we're going to start right here in Isaiah 62 with verse 4, just one verse. Isaiah 62 and verse 4. Now, those of you that have the outline, the handout, I was looking at this morning and I was like, what were you thinking? You've got 45 scriptures here. So anyways, y'all are in trouble this morning. Isaiah 62 and verse 4. Now, I'm not going to ask you to stand, but if you would honor God's word in your heart and in your head, or if you want to stand, that's fine, but just say amen. Amen. All right. Isaiah 62 and verse 4 says, "You shall no longer be termed forsaken, nor shall your land anymore be termed desolate, but you shall be called Hephzibah." And that literally means my delight is in her. Did you know God's delight is in you? He delights himself over you. "And your land, Beulah." And that word Beulah literally means married. We are going to a land that is fairer than day. I want to talk to you for a little while about heaven. Let's ask God to bless the word. Father, we've read the word, and now we need to teach and preach the word. And Father, if you don't get on this message and anoint it, it'll just be another old dull Sunday. But God, if you would see fit to anoint this word of yours and apply it to our hearts and lives and make it meaningful to each one of us, make heaven real today for us. This is not some pie in the sky deal we're talking about. This is a real place. And so God, make it real to our hearts today, and then help us to respond in obedience. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. All right, the rest of the morning we're going to be in Revelation, the book of the Revelation. No S. Revelation 21 and 22. While you're getting there, you know, there have been many, many... We sung a song about heaven today. "I'll fly away." There have been a bunch of hymns and songs written about heaven. "In the sweet by and by. What a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see. When heaven came down and glory filled my soul." I don't know what your favorite hymn and song about heaven is. I can only imagine. Other favorite hymns and songs about heaven. There's been thousands of them written. And I love singing about heaven, don't you? But here, there was a song written in our generation. It may be the greatest, most impactful song about heaven that's ever been written. It was written in our generation by a singer and songwriter by the name of Squire Parsons. It's called Beulah Land, and it's taken from this verse in Isaiah 64. And I've heard it dozens and dozens and dozens of times. Soloists singing it, choirs singing it. And every time Beulah Land is sung, people get this faraway look in their eyes. Tears start streaming down their face. Because Beulah Land reminds us of heaven. And it reminds us that there is another home that's waiting on us. By the world, this world is not your home. Abraham reminded us that you are but children and strangers and foreigners, pilgrims in a foreign land. And Abraham also was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1 tells us that God is building a city not made with hands. We're talking about Beulah Land. We're talking about heaven today. And I don't know how you all are, but when I was a young, but when I was Mason's age, I didn't spend a lot of time thinking about heaven. But I want to tell you, now that I'm an old man, I think all the time about heaven. And I'm homesick. I'm homesick to go home. Are you understand? Yeah, and here's the deal, y'all. God has put a homing device deep down within us. There's a heavenly dove in you in the person of the Holy Spirit. And from time to time, I will tell you, when y'all were singing "I'll Fly Away" this morning, the Holy Spirit was tugging and pulling on my heart. I was ready to fly away. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Angels beckon from heaven's open door. I just can't feel at home in this world anymore. And so as we talk this morning about the splendor and the majesty and the glory of heaven, I pray it'll make you a little bit homesick. And I pray that knowing that you're heading to heaven, a little bit of heaven's going to be placed in your heart today. How many of you have a loved one in heaven today? All right, most of you. Some of you are scared to raise your hand because you think somebody's going to call you Pentecostal. No danger in that. All right, let's talk about heaven. There's an open door in heaven, and I've entitled the message today, Beulah Land. Hallelujah. Do y'all hear the wedding? There's another wedding. Wedding music is a great old hymn. My favorite quartet used to sing it, the Cathedrals. Is that wedding music I hear? Some of y'all, what in the world is he singing about? All right. An open door in heaven. First of all, I want to give you three words, three truths about heaven that describe what heaven is like. Characteristics of heaven. And I'm just going to give you these three words up front. Okay? Home. Heaven is home for the child of God. Home. Second word is happiness. And I can tell by looking at you, some of you need to hear about being happy. And then number three is Him. You know what makes heaven heaven? Him. So we're going to cover those three in these two chapters here in the book of the Revelation. And so heaven is our home. Heaven is our home. Look at your neighbor or whoever you're sitting beside or close to and say, I'm heading home. Amen. So, first of all, heaven is our heavenly home. We're going to have a new address. You got an address here, but I want to tell you the new address is far greater. Now, look what John calls it there in verse 2 of Revelation 21. Then I, John, saw the holy city. And here's our new address, New Jerusalem. Coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Beulah Land. John was privileged to see. God opened up the curtain and allowed him to see heaven. And he saw this holy city, our new address called the New Jerusalem, coming down. And he saw these beautiful, beautiful sights and heard these great sounds and saw these gorgeous colors. Oh, heaven is amazing. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy. And y'all going to just have to put up with me today. Hallelujah. And so our new address is the New Jerusalem. And I want to tell you, how do you explain heavenly things with earthly language? Human language just breaks down when you start trying to describe heaven. I mean, how do you describe the indescribable? How do you explain the unexplainable? I think I've told this story before. I'm a big Elvis Presley fan. I used to love his music. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing and dance. But when Elvis's mom died, his daddy Vernon remarried a lady by the name of Dee Stanley. And Dee had three boys. And the youngest boy, Ricky, eventually wound up getting saved and becoming one of our greatest Southern Baptist Convention evangelists, Rick Stanley. He was a member of Dr. James Merritt's church. Some of you know Dr. Merritt and have heard of him. But in his autobiography, Ricky Stanley began to talk about the day his mama and stepdad moved them into Graceland. He said, oh, Graceland was like heaven to a little boy. There was everything that a little boy could want. I mean, they had ponies to ride. There was a swimming pool to swim in. There was bicycles and motor cars and go-karts and bicycles and motor, everything. Toys and games and all kinds of things. And he said, anytime I wanted a sandwich, I just marched into the kitchen and ate whatever I wanted. He said, oh, Graceland was an amazing, amazing place. But I want to tell you, Beulah Land, Graceland pales in comparison. It looks like Pauper's Row to the way heaven is. It's our new address. And it is an amazing thing. And so John begins to describe heaven. I'm just going to quickly move through these. Revelation 21:12 talks about a 250-foot wall. Also, he had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. Now, the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. And then jump down to verse 17. Then he measured its wall 144 cubits. That's 250 feet tall. He saw this huge city coming down, the New Jerusalem out of heaven. And it was beautifully adorned. How many of y'all ever seen an ugly bride? I didn't think, there's one right over here. Woo! Let me just tell you this. Let me just say this to you. I think that's John's way, this 250-foot wall, and it had 12 foundations that it's sitting on, all kinds of beautiful colors and foundations and stones and this jasper-looking wall. I think that's God's way of telling us heaven is going to be a safe, secure place. John Koch and I, we're not going to need any security systems in heaven. Hallelujah. It is a safe and secure place. So he sees this huge wall, and then he sees those 12 gates of pearl that I just read about. Three gates on each side. 12 gates in all. Three on the east, three on the west, three on the north, three on the south. Why are there so many gates? So that whosoever wants to come to heaven can come. Coming in and out of heaven are these gates made of one pearl apiece, and there's an angel at each gate. Now, when you start thinking about a pearl and how it's made with great suffering and anguish, and that's how a pearl's made, affliction. And every time we walk through one of those gates of pearl, we'll be reminded of the tremendous suffering that Jesus went through for us so that we could wind up in a place called Beulah Land. Hallelujah. Hallelujah is right. And then there's a street. Look at verse 21. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl. And watch this. And the street. Is there an S on street? There's one street in heaven. We sing all these old gospel songs about streets of gold and streets this and street. There's one street in heaven, and it's Main Street. And the street is made of gold. You know, down here in this world, we worship gold and walk on God. But up there, we're going to worship God and walk on gold. Oh, that's good, y'all. Come on. Street of gold. Main Street. Main Street. And then John sees this. A river of life. Look at chapter 22 and verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and the Lamb. Now, John sees this great river running beside the street of gold, and it's clear as crystal. There's not going to be any polluted water in glory. They're not going to have to dig wells because there's this beautiful, and every time you take a drink from the river of life, God will add 10,000 years to your life. Whoo! There's a great river of life. And then he describes a great tree of life. Look at verse 22, excuse me, chapter 22, verse 2. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And so you've got these trees that bear fruit every month. Every month. And different fruit every month. And so whenever you want some, you can go get, what's your favorite fruit? Peaches. Pears. Really? What about blueberries? Sanctified, glorified blueberries. Every month. And so we're going to eat from the tree of life. We're going to drink from the river of life. Hallelujah. We're going to be safe, sound, and secure. We're going to walk on a street of gold. And then look at the dimensions of heaven. I didn't read verse 16 in chapter 21. The city's laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. What John's telling us, he sees this New Jerusalem coming down, and it's 1,500 miles in every direction. When you do the math with the furlongs there, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles deep, 1,500 miles tall. Heaven's 1,500 miles. Now, I've given you all these dimensions before, but you probably forgot what I told you last Sunday. So let me just remind you of this. If you were looking at a map and you put your finger on Miami and then drew a line up to the tip of Maine and drew another line down to Denver, Colorado, and then drew another line down to the tip of Mexico and then back to Miami, that right there is the base of heaven. 1,500, but heaven is 1,500 miles high, tall. Now get this. If heaven were stories of floors with 15-foot ceilings, how many of you girls wish you had a 15-foot ceiling? Heaven would have 525,000 stories of floors. And each floor would have 2,250,000 square miles of space. And the Department of Eugenics tells us that somewhere around 30 billion people have been born and lived on this planet. And if all 30 billion were to go to heaven, and that is not going to happen. But if all 30 billion went, each person would have 196 square miles of property. Look at somebody and tell them, I'm a property owner. Why is heaven so big? So that anybody who wants to can go. Did you know God wants you to go to heaven? He wants you to go home. He's building homes. John 14, let not your heart be troubled, Jesus said. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. And that's not our word. That word means dwelling places, abiding places. Beautiful, gorgeous rooms and dwellings for God's people. Christ the carpenter has been gone 2,000 years, and hallelujah, what a builder he is. And he is building your heavenly home right now. And so when you start thinking about the dimensions of heaven and how big it is, it's big enough where everyone can go. And then I want you to look at verse 23 of chapter 1. It's 21. 21:23 says, the city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. Jesus is going to light up heaven. There'll be no more power failures. Amen? Not going to be any need for folks to climb poles and fix the lights anymore. Hallelujah. Jesus is going to light, that Shekinah glory of God is going to light up the New Jerusalem, our new address. And so, brothers and sisters, no more night. Those amazing colors, every color of the spectrum is seen on the foundation and the wall. Hallelujah, we're walking on a street of gold. We're drinking from the river of life. We're eating from the tree of life. And when we're 10,000 years old, we'll just be like a newborn baby. All of eternity, we're going to be there. Heaven is our home. And you can go if you want to go. Amen? Amen. All right, give God praise. Hallelujah. Now, here's one I wanted to really get to. Heaven is a happy place. Say happy with me. Happy. Now, everybody smile. All right? Heaven's going to be a happy, happy place because of two things, because of the absence of of some things and the presence of some things. Now, look at 22 and verse 3. Heaven, first of all, is a happy place because of the absence of of some things. Look at 22 and verse 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. There will be no more curse. Did you know you're under a curse? All of creation is under a curse, the curse of sin. Sin has done a number on us. Amen? Come on and own up to it. Sin is at the bottom of all of our trouble. It is the root cause of all of our problems. And one day when we finally get home, we're going to be saved to sin no more, out from under the curse. Hallelujah. Out from under the curse. You don't have to worry about sin and being ashamed and embarrassed and guilty. You won't have to look over your shoulder to see who's coming. You won't have to try to think, did I tell this person a lie and then lie again? Hallelujah! We're no longer going to sin. You see, God's getting ready for heaven, and He's got to give you a new body and a new mind and a new spirit because we're not ready for heaven right now. But you're going to get that at the judgment seat of Christ. Hallelujah. So there's no more curse. And then secondly, there's no more sorrow. I like this as well as any of them. Look at verse 4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death. Somebody shout. Nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. No more sorrow. No more sickness. No more suffering. No more diabetes. No more cancer. No more wheelchairs. No more handicap. No more physically challenged folks. No more mental health issues. No more drug stores. Hallelujah. No more need for medicine. No need for hospitals. Glory to God. No more having to go get a checkup to have your blood pressure checked. No more need for that. No more sorrow. No more suffering. No more sickness. And best of all, no more death. Sin leads to... And he's going to do away with that sin issue, which took place at the cross first and foremost. But we're going to be saved to sin no more. And there's not going to be... Can you imagine what heaven's going to... No more broken relationships. No more broken homes. Man, at our Good News Club, some of those kids, they don't even know who's coming to pick them up. None of that. No more war. Aren't you tired of war and rumors of war? Whew. Heaven is a happy place. And then no more sea. Revelation 21 and verse 1 says, Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and also there was no more sea. What in the world is he talking about there? No more sea. We've been to the Mediterranean Sea, and it's gorgeous, beautiful. Well, when John was writing the book of the Revelation that God had given to him, do you know where John was? He was on the island of Patmos. And John was the great pastor at Ephesus. And now he's separated from the church in Ephesus. He's on an island quarrying rock. And he is separated by 60 miles of Aegean Sea. So you understand what he's saying? No more separation. I believe that's what he's talking about. And when we all get to heaven, there'll be no more separation for God's people. We're all going to get home. And we're going to look around and say, Pam, is that you? And she'll look at me and say, Brother Cal, what an improvement. And you know, there's not going to be any critical judgmental attitudes in heaven. And thank God there's not going to be any cold water committee, sire puss church members in heaven. Not going to be any complaining in heaven. God's people are going to be sweet as chess pie. Have y'all even had chess pie before? Sweet, thank you. So it's going to be a happy place. Folks are just going to be having a good time. You know, for most of you, probably 99% of you, really enjoy coming to worship. And it makes you feel good all under. I've talked to some of our new members, you know, in our first mile class, and I ask them, what do you enjoy about coming? And they all say worship. And they all say the friendly atmosphere that's here. And they all say, most of the time they say, this is a happy place. I want to tell you, heaven's going to make this place look sour. Hallelujah. So heaven is a happy place because of the absence of some things. Now watch this. And the presence of some things. Now, Revelation 21 and verse 9. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me. And then verse 12 and some others talk about there's going to be millions and millions of angels in heaven. Did you know that there are guardian angels right now? You have entertained angels unawares. And you're going to meet that angel that guarded you and guided you and protected you. You're even going to get to meet the archangel Gabriel and Michael. And your pastor is going to sing not only with the Brooklyn Tab Choir, but I'm going to sing with the angel choir. There's angelic choirs in heaven. So you're going to see angels there. And then secondly, you're going to see all the apostles and the disciples. And you know, verse 20, where is that? Verse 12 talks about the apostles, the names of the apostles, the 12 tribes. All God's family is going to get there. And I don't know how you are, but I want to sit down with James and John, the sons of thunder, and ask them about their old bad temper. I want to sit down with the apostle. How many of y'all got some questions for the Apostle Paul? Hallelujah. I can't wait to sit down with John the Baptist and Elijah, my two favorite Old Testament preachers and prophets. And what about Moses, Israel's greatest prophet? Oh, they'll all be there. And we're going to sit down with them through all the ages. And the disciples. I don't know much about Bartholomew and Nathaniel and some of those others, but they'll all be there. And then the Bible says there will also be the family of God. Look at verse 24 in chapter 21. I like this. And the nations. That's talking about most of the time you see that word, he's talking about Gentiles. Look at your neighbor and say, that's you. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. And so all of the family of God's going to be there. Every child of God. Every child of God. Some of you have lost a son or a daughter. You hadn't lost them. You know where they are. And you're going to be in reunion with them. Some of you have lost a mom and a dad. And you're going to be with him again. Some of you have had to say goodbye to a good friend. And they're there in heaven. Now, not everybody goes to heaven that leaves here. But your saved loved ones are with Jesus. And you can count on seeing them again. All the family of God's going to get there. I can't wait to talk it over with my daddy one more time. And my sweet mama. And my grandparents. And my cousin Mark. I could go on and on there. Who's in heaven that you know? And friends and family, mercy me. But there, verse 27 says, but there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? In just about 10 minutes, we're going to tell you all how to do that. Heaven's a happy place. Heaven's a heavenly home. But heaven is all about Him. What makes heaven so sweet is Jesus. Jesus is heaven. Jesus is heaven. And He's there. And John says in verse 4, chapter 22, we shall see Him. Watch this. They shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads. You ever thought about, you know, all these crazy looking pictures we've got of Jesus? I don't know about all these pictures, but I sure do want to see Jesus. I want to look upon Him. The Bible says we'll see Him as He is, face to face. Bless God, I am not going to have to text Jesus in heaven. I'm not going to have to send Him an email. I'm not going to have to Snapchat Him. Glory to God, I'll see Him face to face. Woo! And then the Bible says, not only will we see Him, but the Bible says we will serve Him. Verse 23, the latter part of that, I think I read that already. And there was no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and His servant shall serve Him. How sweet it is to serve Jesus. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. It is a sweet thing to serve. It's a privilege to serve Jesus. Well, bless God. What do you think we're going to be doing for all of eternity? We're going to be serving Jesus. There are positions and places of service in heaven. And service, work, is not going to be laborious. It's going to be wonderful, Spirit-filled service. I don't know what all we'll be doing, but we're going to serve Jesus for all of eternity. Susan Brock, she is a great decorator. And He may send Susan to polish and decorate the rings around Saturn. We're going to serve Jesus. Whatever He wants us to do, we're going to do it. We're going to serve Him for all of eternity. Glory to God. And by the way, it pays to serve Jesus. And if you're not serving Jesus, what are you going to do there? If you're not serving Him now, what makes you think you're going to serve Him there? Jesus said, why do you call Me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say? Here's the last one. We will worship Him forever. Chapter 21, verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold! Now y'all know that's Montgomery County for watch this. Look a here. Pay attention. Lean in. I've got something important to say. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And He will dwell, there's that word tabernacle again, dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. We'll worship Him for all of eternity. Go back and read Revelation 4 and 5. Read Revelation 19 and see how worship is in heaven. That's what changed my attitude about worship down here. I'm getting ready down here for what's going to happen up there. Every now and then you get these glimpses of glory. My grandmama Hampton died back in 87, I believe it was. And she lived over at Malibu Apartments. And she spent her last 3 weeks out at the Walking Horse Assisted Living Retirement Home. And that's where she passed away. And so we were putting, a couple of weeks later, we went over to her apartment, and we were packing up things and getting rid of some things, and Grandmama had all these suit bags. You girls, y'all know what I'm talking about? Suit bags, plastic suit bags in her closet, and she would put her clothes, you know, in there to keep the moss from eating her clothes. She's old school. And so I grabbed one of those, and I unzipped that plastic bag, and boom, all of a sudden, I was at Grandmama's house. You understand what I'm saying? That's what's going on right here. You've been given a glimpse of the glory. And I hope you're homesick, because I am. But here's the deal. You can't go to heaven until heaven gets in you. In order for you to be glory bound, you got to be glory born. And in this country that we live in, there's not a whole lot of, it doesn't cost a lot to come to faith in Christ. It should. I was talking with Brother V this week. He's home here from India. We were talking about the ministry and how those folks are under persecution, and every time that somebody's, the church planters and the pastors are being beaten and persecuted. But we live in a nation where it's almost easy to come to Jesus. But I want to tell you, our salvation did not come easily. And it didn't come cheaply. It cost Jesus his life. And unless you're willing to lay down your life for him, that's what it means to be Lord. I don't believe in just, you know, this cafeteria style Savior stuff. I believe in Lordship salvation. And once you come to faith, the Bible says, you can, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Now, are we going to make mistakes? Yes. Are we going to let Jesus down from time to time? Yes. Are we going to do things that? Yes. But overall, what's the desire of your heart this morning? Is it to put a smile on his face? Is it to serve him? Is it to please him? Is it the desire of your heart to want to love Jesus with everything that you've got? Well, if it's not, you need to talk to him this morning about it. Because I want to tell you, when he comes to get us, you don't want him to have any problems recognizing who you are. Let's pray together. If you're not sure about whether or not you're going to heaven, I didn't come here to get you to doubt your salvation. I came here to just seal that decision in your heart. Do you know that you know that you know you belong to God? Have you trusted him? Placed your faith, everything that you are, into everything that he is? Have you? If you've got some doubt in your heart, I wouldn't let another second pass. I'd surrender to Jesus. And you know what? When you do, others around you will know that you did. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you want to go to heaven, I want you to repeat after me. If you're not sure, you just do what the Bible says. Just say, repeat something like this: Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I understand that my sins have separated me from you. But I also believe, Father, that your Son came to this world and paid the price for all my sin. And so, Lord, would you forgive me of my sin today? And I believe that you raised your Son from the dead, and he's alive. And Father, would you send the Spirit of the Lord Jesus to live and reign and rule in my heart of hearts today? Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you, Lord. Oh, in Jesus' name I pray. If you prayed something like that, I believe you just got saved. You just got born again. And there's no private Christianity today. Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. And all you simply need to do today is just take your stand for Jesus. You can do that. You love him. He loves you. And he's going to help you. In just a moment, we're going to sing, and I'm going to ask you to quietly get up out of your seat, come down that aisle, and there'll be men and women here to pray with you and record your decision and get some materials in your hands so that you can get started in your new life with Christ. Father, do what only you can do right now. Give us the courage to say yes. Give us the courage, Father, to do the right thing here today at Second Mile Church, God. Bless us with your presence and your power. Give my new brothers and sisters that had just prayed receive Christ the courage to do the right thing and take their stand for Jesus. And those of us that are saved, help us to get ready for heaven. Help us to occupy and stay busy doing evangelism and discipleship. Help us to stay on task with missions and loving people. I thank you for this 6-year anniversary today, God. But I believe there's much greater and bigger and larger things for your glory that are still out ahead of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Quietly, stand to your feet. We're going to sing. As Andrew leads us, you come. If you pray to receive Christ, if you need prayer, step out in the aisles and come. There'll be deacons and wives here to help you in your decision. Let's sing. Hallelujah.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.